Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
To incorporate a large swath of this area. How many people are aware that there was a movement to incorporate? Okay. Most people in the room. I know there was a lot of mixed emotions about it, but I can tell you I've been asked about it. Listen, if you have a county commissioner that's doing his job, you don't need an extra layer of government. That's my personal opinion. Obviously, it's your right if you want to vote for him.
So in the context of saying that he completely disagrees with Incorporate Perdido at his town hall about 2 weeks ago, I actually thought the comments were kind of interesting because I feel like Commissioner Bergosh said the right thing and then said the exact opposite thing. You notice in his comments he said that if the commissioner is doing their job, you don't need an additional layer of government. Based on the results last night, where the voters clearly did not think that he was doing his job, I actually think the Incorporate Perdido is probably dead now. But we'll see.
Government that is closest to you is the best. And there's nothing that gets improved when you add another layer and then another layer of taxes and another layer of bureaucracy. And so I would simply tell you this, as your county commissioner, if you need something, call me. I answer my phone. I answer my emails. I really do.
You know, it's interesting because he says government is best at governs closest. That was the whole idea of incorporation, is that they didn't like Escambia County and that a commissioner from Beulah was making decisions about Perdido and that, you know, the county commission that was making decisions for the whole county and not treating Perdido with its particular value and emphasis. So anyway, I just thought it was an interesting follow-up to listen to those comments now 2 weeks later, but after yesterday's primary, of course. So, yeah, man, yesterday was a wild day. The day that I had no expectation this was going to happen. Honestly, I don't publicly announce my endorsement or opposition for candidates. I don't think it's appropriate for me to endorse or to anti-endorse. I have never come so close as this year. Just be honest, I was sore tempted this year to make public statements one way or the other. But I try to be as fair as I can. I tell you when people say stupid stuff. I tell you when they say good stuff. I tell you when they do stupid things. And I tell you when they do good things. I think anybody who listens to this show long enough would pick up on the idea that I don't think Jeff Bergosh was a good commissioner. Character issues, vindictiveness, bullying, lying, pursuing lawsuits designed to suppress public opinion, gerrymandering his opponents in and out of districts for personal benefit. I just, not good, okay? And, you know, one of the things, God, I have so much to say. One of the things I think that people have asked me a lot is, why did he get all these big endorsements? You know, why did so many different people endorse him? And I'm not going to go through the list of those who did, you know full well. I didn't talk about this before the election. Maybe I should have, maybe I shouldn't. I think it's real simple. People endorsed him, big people endorsed him. And, you know, even I'll give you an example, like the Firefighters Union endorsed him. And I'll tell you why. Okay, I mean, my theory is this. They were afraid of him. Or not afraid of him, but they know he's a bully. They know he's vindictive. They know he'll punish people who don't support him. I mean, God, look at how he treats me. You know, it's horrific. Read his blog if you want to. It's amazing. Jeff doesn't, you know, I don't like Jeff because he lies about me. Jeff doesn't like me because I tell the truth about him. I mean, that's the way I view it. Now, you might think I'm biased and wrong or whatever, but that's how I call it. He definitely will punish you if you don't do what he wants you to do. And he'll reward you if you do. He's a very gifted politician in that regard. But here's what I think was going on in the calculus of some of the major elected officials that sided with him, is I think they said, look, if Jeff wins and I didn't support him, that's going to cost me my people. And if Jeff loses and Steve Strogerberger gets elected, he's still going to do the right thing and it's not going to hurt me. So how does it help to come out against him? And that, look, that is a prudent calculus. I cannot blame anybody who makes that decision. But that's a byproduct of the, you know, vindictive bullying, using your power against your enemies kind of stuff. I mean, look at the lawsuit. Jonathan Owens and the PNJ, you know, he lost. And now Pam Childers is saying that, as the judge said, there was no county interest in this. It was a slap suit. It was designed to suppress public opinion, public participation. And she's now saying that anybody who worked on the lawsuit from the county isn't going to be able to get paid payroll because of that time, because it was a personal benefit for him. So Steve West, the idea is Pam Childers will not, I guess, sign off on his payroll checks to the degree that his payroll came from. Like, this is some of the stuff that's all going on. And, you know, the seismic shift in Escambia County politics because of last night cannot be. Steve Strohberger won by a majority. That hasn't happened since Wilson Robertson won in a two-person race 12 years ago. 54%, including the fact that Jesse Casey, Jeff Bergosh's assistant, who had previously run against him, but who had been, you know, co-opted into being his assistant, basically ran against him as a way of just siphoning votes out of the anti-Bergosh pool. It's an additional 9% of people who weren't going to vote for Bergosh, and I think they probably would have voted for Steve, so that maybe puts you as high as 60% against. After somebody's been in office for 8 years, that is a resounding defeat. And I have said this before, I don't think we ought to have a system where people who don't win a majority should get a seat, and we now have a majority of people elected Steve Strohberger. This is a huge change for the county. There are people who thought you could never break up the three-person vote of Stephen Berry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh. It just got broken up. There are people who said that you would never be able to beat the moneyed interest who supported those three candidates, and now they have defeated them. People who thought in Escambia County you can never win, you can never get out from under, there's never going to be a change because it's always just going to be one person who's complaining on the board or disagreeing, like Mike Kohler. But he now has Steve on his side. It's now 2-2. Stephen Berry still has to win re-election in November against a very capable no-party affiliate candidate. And Ashley Hoffberger, she's now the swing vote. She has the power on the commission. I mean, this is wild changes in Escambia County politics yesterday. We'll come back to this in just a second. Right now we got John Pickens back in the studio in Pensacola with traffic on the fives.
If you're rolling around Tippett Avenue or right around Underwood Avenue, we've got a vehicle crash with injuries in roadblock happening there, so just be aware of that. You might want to plan around that one. Also, still seeing delays I-10 eastbound, backed up all the way to Pine Forest. It's about a 5 to 7 minute delay through there as you go through the construction zone on Highway 29 and thereafter. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the discussion about Escambia and Santa Rosa. So that's the district, one race. Jeff Bergosh getting ousted by the voters decisively yesterday. A combination of factors, I think, that all culminated in people basically wanted to change, a big, big, big change. Also in Escambia County, of course, Ashley Hoffberger won. That was very tight. Well, you know, one of the things about local elections is you have no idea what's going to happen until the election. Nobody knows. Polling is too limited to be statistically reliable. There's not enough people you can ask, or it costs too much to do it. It's a crapshoot guess. And I'll tell you where my attitude was, is I was expecting Jeff to get reelected. I had no expectation that Steve was going to win. I don't say this on the air because I don't know, and I don't want to kind of say one way or the other if I don't know. And I actually think it's better. I think we shouldn't be talking about who's polling where or who's got what. You know, that kind of coverage of a race diminishes the candidates, their positions, who they are, what they're saying. I think we shouldn't talk about it that way. And by the way, Jeff is a fantastic campaigner. He works hard. He puts out signs. He goes door to door. He does everything he can. He always has. And if he ever runs again, I'm sure he will again, just like I'm sure he did this time around. And so who knows what's going to happen. But man, I didn't want to hope for it, but I was, you know, again, I don't publicly tell you who I support or not, but I'll tell you after the fact, I absolutely prefer this outcome. I mean, this is an amazing outcome for our county, honestly. Now, Ashley Hoffberger winning her tight election against Walker Wilson and Buck Mitchell. I didn't know what to expect there either. And I think any of the three of them would be good. I really don't have a strong preference one way or the other. I mean, I think she's going to be great. I think Walker would have been great. I think Buck brought a lot to the table, too. And I didn't know. It was a very tight race, you know, barely won by about 5%. But she controls the commission now because it's Stephen. It's District 1 and District 2 against District, you know, it's Lumen May and Stephen Berry on the one hand against Steve Strohberger and Mike Kohler on the other hand. It's 2-2. So when there's disagreement, it's going to be Ashley's power to sway. That's a big change in Escambia County. Meanwhile, we have another county. And this is, oh my God. Now, if you listen to my show for any period of time, there will come to you as absolutely no surprise that last night's election results in District 3 in Santa Rosa County were, well, what's the word I want to say? Look, James Calkins has been a source of disruption and chaos and stress for the staff and non-productivity and just all the wrong things in government. And he, for 4 years, has been trouble on the county commission. And the voters said, oh no, we are absolutely done with this. And they voted in by a very strong, not quite a majority, they voted in the person who also I would have picked in Santa Rosa County. Look, I know Jerry Cooey very well. He's a friend. But I think that Rhett Rowell was the right choice here. Rhett's a responsible, capable, decent, smart, just, you know, the right person. And based on, you know, the things that I have seen of their debates and whatever, yeah, I mean, and what I know about them, this is a good choice. But for him to win with that big of a vote is also significant. Now, it wasn't the majority. Okay, it wasn't a majority, and it's important to know that, you know, but it was pretty significant, 43% to Jerry Cooey's 29% and James Calkins' 28%. That is a decisive win, and for the incumbent to score only a quarter of the vote in third place in a three-person race, that means people were listening. People were paying attention. Now, the one thing, and also Sam Parker. That was a surprise to me. I didn't know what to think about that race, but Bobby Burkett winning that with an outright majority at 52%. Sam got 34. Aaron Williams, who I thought ran a good campaign, but I didn't think was likely to win in the end at 10%. Sam's a friend. I don't really know Bobby. I didn't have particularly an interest in this race personally. Like, I can't tell you I would have done this because I really didn't have a view. That's a big change for Sam to lose after having been on the board for so many years. That's a big change for Santa Rosa County. That's a partially people, I think, were seeing some of the things that he had, you know, ill-advised comments he had made at various times, including the offhanded comment in the shop. Maybe it's his position on infrastructure and feeling like he gets the blame for, you know, roads not keeping up or impact fee opposition or any of that kind of stuff. I don't know for sure. I don't want to read into anybody's vote too much on that one. But people said, we want to change again. So they want to change from Sam Parker. They definitely wanted to change from James Calkins. And then they didn't want to change in District 5 with Colton Wright, who got 56% of the vote, 57% of the vote to Mike Priest. I would agree with that. I think Colton has done a great job as a commissioner. He is very capable, very smart. You know, I like Colton quite a lot. We're friends. But I think he does a good job on the board. And so, you know, that's a good decision. The reason I stopped predicting local races was specifically because of what happened in District 4 2 years ago. When Ray Eddington beat Dave Peach, which I thought was going to be an 80-20 slaughter for Dave Peach, when he lost, I was like, you never know what's going to happen in local politics. You just never know. In my wildest dreams, I did not dare hope that we would get rid of both Jeff Burgosh and James Calkins in one night. I couldn't believe when the early returns came in and I saw that, I'm like, it's not going to hold up. Can't hold up. And as I watched the returns continue to come in, I thought, holy smokes, man. Now, there's a loss here. It's worth noting the loss of James Calkins means the Santa Rosa County Commission meetings are going to be boring. They're going to be much less entertaining. As a radio host, it's definitely going to be less.
Voters just got hosed.
You know that James Calkins brought entertainment value to the board.
I think this is a hosing of the voters issue.
But I will take good government over entertaining radio every single time. Plus, look, there's always Milton. You know, we'll always have Milton until, well, you know, November elections. Who knows what's going to happen there? And I don't really have sides I'm picking in any of those races particularly. I don't even know that I know enough about all the different candidates in Milton. All I'm saying is that if there's a saving municipality that's going to keep the drama alive, and look, there may well be drama on the Escambia County Commission, at least until Jeff leaves, but we'll see, you know, because Stephen is not an outspoken guy particularly, and even if he's in disagreement with Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger, we'll see if there's conflict there. But the drama level in local government is probably going to change significantly as a result of these couple of races. 825 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. We are in Chicago for the DNC, and John Pickens is in Pensacola with our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Accident on Tippin Avenue and Underwood Avenue. It's a vehicle crash with injuries and a roadblock, so just be aware of that. Also, just seeing a minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So you're getting ready to do a home improvement project, and you're just sure that you know how to do it and the best way to do it and the most efficient, best results, right? Okay, great. But one of my old bosses always had an expression. He said, Andrew, there's only two times I want you to come ask me for advice. I want you to come ask me for advice when you're not sure what to do and when you are. Which is his way of saying always ask. And the reason I mention this is because Pensacola Hardware is that expert resource. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. They know. It's in the blood. It's institutional knowledge. And so if you go there and ask them, they're not going to be like, huh, I never heard about that before. Let me see if anybody here understands. They will have seen it. And they will know how to give you advice and then obviously help you buy the right tool for the right job so that you get the right result and you wind up happy in the end. That's the idea. Pensacola Hardware, helping people in this area since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family, an investment that will hold its value, and something that will last a long, long time. In a few words, you're buying trust. According to Consumer Reports, Subaru's been ranked the 2023 best mainstream automotive brand, and the Subaru Outback has been named the 2024 recommended model. For a limited time, you can celebrate them both with special offers during the Subaru Lot to Love event, now through September 3rd. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. There's certainly a lot to love about a Subaru. Safety, reliability, and owner satisfaction. And we invite you to stop by Anderson Subaru to discover what automotive experts and Subaru owners all know. It's easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Learn more at Subaru.com/CR. Consumer Reports does not endorse products or services.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Oh, yeah, I'll take some 99 in the shade, although in Chicago it's been 68, so not the convention year, but the temperature. David Wayne is in the newsroom back in Pensacola with our headlines. David?
Well, reports say that more than 70 people were arrested last night after protesters and the police clashed in Chicago. This after pro-Palestinian protesters walked into a large group of police officers last night as they were rallying outside of the Israeli consulate. The fighting broke out. A masked protester also set fire to American and Israeli flags during that skirmish. A California doctor charged in connection with the ketamine-related death of Friends actor Matthew Perry has now reopened his medical clinic in Calabasas. Dr. Salvador Plasencia, who was arrested and charged last week, reopened the clinic on Monday this week, but apparently he's not treating patients there. Sign on the door says he's a defendant in a pending criminal case and has been charged with felony offenses.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 829 here on News Radio 92.3. Hey, one thing that's very interesting about the protest last night, I did an interview earlier this morning. It's on our podcast page with a reporter for the Jewish Journal. She has done background on all of these groups that were involved in the protest across the country and also yesterday. It is Marxist socialists wanting revolution, co-opting Muslim pro-Palestinian groups in order to foster and further their own goals of destroying the system. They want chaos, they want violence, and they're using the Palestinian conflict as a pretext to advance that goal.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling fired up.
Former President Obama there at the Democratic National Convention making the case for Kamala Harris for president. Her running mate Tim Walz speaks and accepts the vice presidential nomination tonight. Trump running mate J.D. Vance on Fox and Friends.
The thing that really unites the Democratic Party is not any shared vision for how they want to advance this country. It's their hatred of one person.
Donald Trump, who campaigns with Vance in North Carolina this afternoon. Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested near the Israeli consulate in Chicago.
Protesters set an American and an Israeli flag on fire. They were dressed in all black and had their faces covered and charged at a line of police. Some protesters were heard chanting Free Palestine outside the consulate.
Fox's Brooks Singman, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has left the Middle East with no ceasefire deal in place. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning. We've got sunshine right now, 75 degrees across the area in Pensacola. Well, some big changes coming to county commissions in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties after the primary election yesterday. In Escambia County, District 1 Commissioner Jeff Burgosh is out, losing that race yesterday to Steve Stroberger, who had 52.24% of the vote. Meanwhile, Ashley Hoffberger winning the Republican nomination for the currently vacant District 4 seat. She'll go up now against Democrat Ron Helms in November. In Santa Rosa County, District 1 Commissioner Sam Parker lost his seat to Bobby Burkett, who had 52% of the vote. District 3 Commissioner James Calkins lost to Rhett Rowell, who had 44% of the vote. District 5 Commissioner Colton Wright won his race. He had 57% of the vote. Rick Scott, closer to another term in Washington. He won the Republican primary yesterday, 84% of the vote over two challengers. He'll face Democrat Debbie McCarsel Powell in November. She also won her party's primary with 69% of the vote over three other challengers. A Pensacola biker facing charges after leading the Florida Highway Patrol on an extremely high-speed chase yesterday. Troopers say they saw 21-year-old Ryland Moore of Pensacola speeding on I-10 westbound when they attempted to pull her over. They say she didn't stop, instead sped up, ultimately hitting speeds of more than 140 miles per hour. FHP says the chase ended at the Walmart on Pine Forest Road. She allegedly told troopers she didn't stop because she didn't want the ticket. FHP says the motorcycle was seized. Moore now faces charges of speeding and fleeing and eluding. Another unrelated high-speed chase on I-10 yesterday. A Destin woman arrested after a chase that ended in Escambia County but started in Alabama. That happened just before noon. Officials in Alabama notified FHP about a vehicle fleeing from police heading into the into Florida on I-10. Troopers say they found that vehicle near mile marker 7. They were able to stop it with a pit maneuver. The driver identified as 18-year-old Angelina Stillwell, who now faces also charges of fleeing and eluding and violation of a learner's permit. The second phase of the big revitalization project at Bruce Beach is moving fast.
It's looking like a early October grand opening date for the entire Bruce Beach.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there, the grand opening likely to be held one of the first two Saturdays in October, but at this point he said it's too early to pinpoint the exact date. Phase one of the Bruce Beach project ended in April. That included the central plaza, lawn areas, shade structures, a playground, and a walkway that connected Bruce Beach to Community Maritime Park. The second phase of the project adds the volleyball court, kayak launch, and a picnic area. And it is 8:35 now. News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our traffic on the fives, John Pickens.
That's right. We've got an accident with injuries, a roadblock on Tippin Avenue and Underwood Avenue. Now, as I understand it, the driver was taken out of the car, but we're still seeing delays in that area. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful start to the day. Temperatures starting off in the low 70s. As you head into the afternoon, high near 93, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Humidity builds back in on Thursday with a 50% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 75 in Pensacola, 77. 77 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. And your money now this morning, taking a look at our markets here at the opening bell today. It looks like stocks are up a little bit higher today. The Dow's up 86 points at 40,921. S&P up 13 points at 5609. The NASDAQ up 24 points. Let's make that 28 points as of right now, 17,845, where that's at. The 10-year bond rate down a bit at 3.79%. Gold prices down 5.30 at 25.45. Silver prices up 5 cents at 29.57 today. And Bitcoin down just under 200 bucks at $59,258. A federal judge blocking a ban on non-compete agreements that was set to take effect next month. The Federal Trade Commission earlier this year had banned most non-compete agreements, which keep employees from leaving their jobs to work for a competitor. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other groups sued, arguing the ban would make it harder for companies to retain talent. A district judge in Texas agreed on Tuesday. And it's becoming more and more common for people to blur images of their homes on Google Maps. People apparently are doing this as a precaution against burglaries and home invasions. The process is simple. You just enter your address into Google Maps, select Street View, then go to Settings, select Report a Problem, and from there, you can request that Google blur portions of your house. It's unclear how long it takes for those changes to be approved. The popular podcast called Call Her Daddy has been bought by SiriusXM for $100 million. That podcast is the second most popular on Spotify, the fourth biggest across all platforms in the U.S. Forbes says that deal takes effect next year. It's 8:37, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, if you're 64 years old, turning 65, or retiring, and you're going to make the switch from what you've generally had in the past, which is regular health insurance, over onto Medicare, hey, listen up. This is actually very easy to do. But I know you've probably been getting phone calls and letters and people kind of almost harassing you, making it seem like this is a big deal and it's scary and you got to do it with them or what. No, look, this is very easy. The questions you have are very easy to answer. What supplement? What's Advantage? What's Medicaid? What is prescription drug coverage? All of this stuff is no big deal. I know because my good friend Ricky Stewart handles exactly this. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one slice of it that she handles, and she can help you because she's helped loads of other people just like you make this transition. 341-2185 or look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance.
Did you know that with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity, home buyers can choose their location, floor plans, and even certain home features? It's true. With an affordable mortgage, you can build the home of your dreams, tailored to your needs and preferences, all depending on availability and qualifications. Don't wait. Start your journey to home ownership with Pensacola Habitat for Humanity today. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org to learn more and apply today.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hey Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
The recent global outage had many businesses scrambling to recover. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. The single program made millions of business and government systems inoperable. As an owner, you and your IT team should have a plan in place for when trouble strikes. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Andrew McKay, Bobby Rossi. What do they have in common? They both covered the RNC from Milwaukee. Now, it's the Democrats' turn.
I will be laser focused on creating opportunities for the middle class.
Andrew McKay on Pensacola Morning News and Bobby Rossi on Pensacola Right Now will report from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Catch their interviews and observations throughout the convention on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 8:42 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and I know you're wondering, where is the frivolous music stager? Are we not going to have a fun topic here today? No, and there's a very particular reason why. Because last night, after the convention was over, and we had seen all of the reporting online about the violence, the protests, the police and all that, that we wanted to go see it for ourselves. And so we wanted to go to the location, and you know, it was all over by the time we got there, okay? But, you know, we left the convention. It was about 10:30, and we decided to walk down to the area to see it for ourselves at the Israeli consulate, which is about a mile and a half away across, you know, you have to cross the interstate to get there, basically. And on the way, we saw a police officer, and we talked with him briefly, and he's like, oh, yeah, we stopped that. That's all over. In fact, he's told us, which we had not heard from anybody else, that they were definitely trying to march west toward the United Center in order to disrupt the convention. They tried to march west, they got stopped, they tried to go around the block to march the other way, and they got stopped again, and that's when the violence ensued. And when we went to the area, we saw a lot of literature laying around, some bottles in the street, but it was completely disbanded. A couple hundred people were there, maybe 100, 200, something like that at most. 72 arrests were made. And we bumped into a reporter from the Jewish Journal who had been reporting on the protests around the country, the anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian protests of all sorts. She was fabulous. Now, she is not the most lively speaker, but what she is saying is the most important thing I've learned in both conventions. I want you to hear what she's talking about, because it's an explanation of what's really going on. It's also an explanation of how most media, myself included, has not properly understood the protests or any of the violence or any of that kind of stuff. So this is Asra Nomani from the Jewish Journal.
So we're here with, I'm sorry, tell me your name again.
So my name's Asra Nomani. I'm a reporter, and I'm writing for the Jewish Journal this week in Chicago. And I'm particularly reporting on the streets.
Yeah. So we're right outside where the Israeli consulate is hosted, where the protests or riots were held a couple of hours ago. What was it like when you were here during them? What was it like?
I was. So what happened was that there was, at 7 p.m. was the start time for this event that they called Make It Great Like 68, Shut Down the DNC for Gaza. And so the three organizations behind this were, one of was called Behind Enemy Lines. So they basically used the sidewalk of the Israeli consulate entrance as the enemy lines. Okay. And so their movement was to try to get past it. There's a police barricade.
Right, right.
So they went into the streets, and there were about 100 of them, many of them masked. And the reporting that I'm doing is essentially about how it is that these are organizations that are wanting ceasefire in the Middle East, but really also they have other ideological agendas, and that is an analysis of like the 200 plus organizations. 30 plus are self-described socialist, Marxist, Leninist okay. groups. And a lot of times people don't want to say the S word, sure. but these are folks who are very proud of their belief system. And
we met some of those folks yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the real analysis that we need to do is recognize that these are not the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. There are definitely Democrats that want to have foreign policy change, mm-hmm. but those that are on the street are not interested in the Democratic Party.
They're very much outside and opposed to it.
They're right? absolutely.
Would you say that they are pro-Muslim groups, or are they even different than that?
Right. So I did great analysis on this. I spent countless hours over the last couple of weeks, and the analysis is 200 plus organizations. So 230 organizations, let's just say. And of that, about 35 of them are self-described socialist, Marxist, Leninist. About 100 plus are socialist adjacent, I call it pro-socialist.
Okay.
And then about 30 some are Muslim, Palestinian, or Arab.
Okay.
And so you can see that that representation is a minority in this broader coalition. But importantly, the march on DNC organizer yesterday told me, sitting on the curb as the march went by, that he is also passionate and self-described revolutionary, and he believes in the socialist Marxist liberation, in this case of the Palestinian people.
So generating friction, creating controversy, fosters the pretext for revolution of some kind. That's kind of his idea.
Yeah, and there is an end goal, you know, like I do understand that there's a sincere advocacy on behalf of the Palestinian people. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is that it's about a revolution, mm-hmm. and it's about the smash the state.
Mm-hmm. When you have been-
I'm going to pause it right there. This is Bobby Rossi, and I were both talking with her. Again, Asra Namani from the Jewish Journal, also used to be a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. A really good journalist. I've read some of her stuff online. It's fantastic. But anyway, we'll continue this in just a second. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with our Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Let's see. We've got West 9 Mile Road and Cove Avenue. We've got debris on the road, and it's causing roadblocks, so use caution in that area. Also, just had another accident to East Johnson Avenue and Eli Road. Road blockage, left turn lane. That is blocked there. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the interview that we did last night after the protests were over with Nora Asra Namani, who is with the Jewish Journal, and talking about her research into the background of the groups that are involved in all of these protests and what they are really trying to accomplish and why regular mainstream reporting on these protests or the violence is really missing the point.
When you have been researching this and these groups, of course they're saying stop, let's have a ceasefire in Gaza, let's stop the war in Gaza. But are they saying they want to stop the war in Gaza, or are they saying they want to stop the United States supporting Israel so that basically the Palestinians can take over Israel?
Oh, there is absolutely a,
I don't mean to lead you, but
no,
yeah.
No, I was very, like, for the first time I heard explicitly, you know, the chant, we don't want no Israeli state, we want all of 48.
Okay.
So it is, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind any longer that the turn over to the sea is about the destruction of the state of Israel and the removal of the Jewish people from that state.
Now, in conjunction with that, do you hear or do you perceive them as being, I mean, do they want to wipe out the Israeli people, or do they just want to move them off the land somewhere else?
Well, we know, practically speaking, that the Israeli people will not leave.
Of course.
And so to seek the homeland, as they call it, of that state, you will have to remove the Israeli people.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether they say it or not. The practical reality is that it means the removal of the people of Israel. And
I just always wonder how much they A, recognize that or acknowledge it, you know, because that's obviously, it's logically a necessity.
Well, interestingly, I have been binge watching the revolutionary network of agitators and found one organization called Firebrand Communism, and it's on YouTube, and was shocked to hear their leader express this belief that the October 7th attack was heroic and that the Israeli casualties were the consequence of, quote, Israeli Zionism. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the inverse psychology that is happening now. And importantly to the question you just asked also on the demand, it is not for an end to war. It is for a ceasefire in the current operations by Israel. And so we know that the...
By Israel only?
By Israel only.
A temporary then. Okay.
Right, but by Israel only.
Right, right. In other words, allow Hamas and Hezbollah and others to keep agitating if they want to.
And continue the resistance. Yeah. And what is the resistance but, you know, agit propaganda term for violence.
Right.
And the tonight I asked the police chief who was on the streets as the last paddy wagon with the activists from tonight. I asked him about this dynamic that the national security and intelligence people call malign foreign influence. And he said appropriately that as a law enforcement officer, people are allowed to have any belief system that they want.
Right.
But when you cross a line to violence, then they have to draw their line.
Right.
And that's the, to me, the deep question that America has to face on both sides of the equation, whether we're going to have an America of rule of law, mm-hmm. of civil discourse.
Or and, violence as a tool for political ends.
Yeah.
Right.
You've been
yeah.
studying this cause for months now. So you came here to the DNC in order to try to see what they were going to do here. Have you seen this type of action in other places where you've been researching it?
Oh my gosh, yes. And I'll just say that, you know, what inspired me to this kind of work is that in the winter of 2002, my colleague was the journalist Daniel Pearl from the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
And he was visiting my home in Karachi, Pakistan. And in the days that he was kidnapped, we got ransom notes. First, that he was a spy for the U.S. And then he was a spy for Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency. And then that he was a Jew, right? And so his Jewish identity was used as his death sentence. And that's the moment which I also started to just examine this hate. I understand the wound that exists, like in so many societies, for maps that were drawn, that mm-hmm. people feel were drawn unfairly. But for these last 20 some years, I've been investigating this rise of the militancy. And unfortunately, what we're seeing now from the streets of Chicago to our campuses is a manifestation of this unholy alliance between the far left and the Islamist groups that use their hate for Jews and Israel to try to motivate people to action. And this is the exact same action that I saw in front of the White House. And that was the first place that I heard this chant of Genocide Joe. Mm. And that was where the opposition was clear to the Democrats. And now tonight, what we heard was Killer Kamala. And so the message that I have been writing about is for Democrats to also understand that this is not just some progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Right, right.
This is a far left movement that wants to destroy America.
Thank you so much for your time, and thanks for the work that you've been doing. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, thank you for taking the time to talk to me and share this. Anybody that wants to read more can go to jewishjournal.com, and they'll see my articles there and the analysis. And I've put my malign foreign influence index online so that everybody can see the organizations and make their own decision.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for doing the work, and thank you for taking some time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, again, that was Asra Namani from the Jewish Journal. Fantastic information, talking about how the pro-Palestinian protests are partially legitimate, but they're, of course, you know, their goal is the eradication of the Jewish state and maybe the genocide of the Jewish people, that some of the foreign influence involved in this, although she didn't specify here, she does talk in her articles about Iran, the redwashing of the protests, that you're not, people aren't talking about how it's the socialists and the communists who are involved in this, that they want revolution. And they're just using the anti-Israel stuff as a pretext to advance violence as a way of political accommodation and accomplishment. And, you know, like the going back to the 48, that's before Israel existed. That's what that's all about. So very, very important to understand that this is not just a part of the Democratic Party. This is a coalition, an unholy alliance, as she called it, of groups that want to tear down the entire system. And particularly, they want to destroy what's going on with the Republicans and the Democrats. They are not part of the Democratic Party. They are against the whole thing. They want to, if they could get their way, to completely disrupt the DNC. 856 here on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic for us.
That's right. Vehicle crash with roadblock if you're on East Johnson Avenue and Eli Road. The left turn lane is blocked there, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you've got a business, you've got employees. At least if it's growing, you do. And dealing with employees is great, but you also want to make sure that you don't have to frustrate yourself with the headaches of business ownership, like payroll, like human resources, like dental insurance, vision, life, disability, health, all of that stuff. And look, if me talking about that stuff is like, for you, you just gets you nervous and upset and you don't want to think about it and your eye twitches, like, I'm sorry, but that means you should do something different. And if it doesn't, if you're super happy, then great, ignore me for a second. But if there are issues, or maybe you just want to find out if there's a better way to do it, call Torgerson Causey. They're a locally owned and operated comprehensive employee benefits agency. We've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 7 years now, and they made a tremendous improvement for me and my family over what we had before. Better customer service, better answers, choices in plans that we didn't have before. All around, they're fantastic. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All right, we're back here on News Radio 92.3, last little bit of time we have here. Go on our Facebook page, and you can see for yourself the literature that she was talking about, and you see for yourself the connections and who's involved in all of this. But yeah, the move to completely disrupt the DNC is absolutely what they were trying to do. At least these protesters were absolutely trying to do that. We'll have more for you tomorrow. Bobby Ross will have hits for you during Pensacola Right Now, plus on our Facebook page we'll be doing live reports throughout the day. Thanks so much for listening.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.